All right, so let's dive into this, shall we? Today we're looking at a really like pivotal Supreme Court case, Bounds v. Smith, decided way back in 1977. This one really it really changed the game in terms of how we think about the rights of people in prison.
You know, for someone like you who's really into the foundations of law and how our rights are established, this case, this is like required reading. We're going to tackle this big question. Does the Constitution actually like force prisons to give legal resources to inmates? I mean, when you really think about it, what does access to justice actually mean? That's kind of the bedrock of, you know, our whole legal system.
Totally, yeah. And the stuff you sent over, some podcast analysis, a really in-depth case brief, and a standard legal brief, those give us a lot to work with here. I guess what we're trying to do today is like boil it all down, right? Give everyone listening a clear picture of this huge case, why the Supreme Court decided what they did, and what it all means, you know, long term. And we got to do it without getting bogged down in all the legal mumbo jumbo. So, how about we start with the basics? What was the situation that led to Bounds in the first place?
Okay, so this case, it started with a bunch of inmates in North Carolina prisons. They filed a lawsuit because they were basically saying that the state wasn't giving them enough legal resources. And that, they said, was like blocking their access to the courts. They saw it as a pretty clear violation of their constitutional rights. Get this, the whole North Carolina prison system at the time had one law library, just one for the entire state. And there was nothing set up to give inmates any kind of legal help.
Wow. One law library for the whole state. That sounds, that doesn't sound like much at all. So what was the heart of their argument, legally speaking? What were they actually hoping to achieve with this lawsuit?
Right. So their big claim was that without proper resources, they were at a huge disadvantage. They couldn't effectively challenge why they were locked up in the first place. Maybe by filing something called a habeas corpus petition. Think of habeas corpus as like a legal, hey, is it even legal to keep me here kind of thing. They also couldn't really fight back against bad prison conditions using civil rights claims. Those were like lawsuits saying the state did something unconstitutional to them while they were inside. Basically, they were saying, look, we can't fight our legal battles if we don't even have the tools to, you know, learn the laws and prepare the paperwork.
That makes sense. So what happened next? How did the lower courts handle all of this?
Well, the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of North Carolina, they actually sided with the inmates. They were like, yeah, one library for the whole state. That's ridiculous. So they ordered North Carolina to, you know, get their act together and create a program that would actually give prisoners meaningful access to the courts. This meant setting up more law libraries in the prisons, obviously, but also training some inmates to be legal aides to help out their fellow prisoners.
Okay, so it sounds like they were taking the inmates' concerns seriously, but I'm guessing this didn't end there. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court, right? Why was that?
Got it. The Supreme Court got involved because of what happened after the district court's order. North Carolina, they came up with a plan, but then that plan got appealed. And the issue that ended up in front of the Supreme Court was about differences in how they were going to give legal resources to male and female prisoners. This kind of shows you how tricky it can be to actually put these big legal rulings into practice. You know, it's not just about saying, okay, here are some resources. Yeah. You got to make sure it's fair for everybody.
Right, right. Like you said before, it's not just about access in some vague way. It has to be fair and equal access for everyone. Which brings us to the big question in Bounds v. Smith. What was the core legal issue that the Supreme Court had to figure out?
So the Supreme Court was looking at this idea of access to courts, which is in the Constitution. They had to decide, does this just mean prisoners can technically like file papers with the court, or does it mean something more? Does the state actually have to give them the tools and help they need to really use the legal system? It really gets you thinking about what a right actually means, you know, in real life. What does the state have to do to make sure those rights aren't just words on paper?
Yeah, that's a crucial point. It's the difference between the courthouse door being like unlocked and you actually being able to walk through it, understand what's going on, and present your case properly. So what did the Supreme Court actually decide? What did Justice Marshall and the majority say?
All right, so Justice Marshall wrote the majority opinion in Bounds v. Smith, and it was a huge win for prisoners' rights. The court said, yes, the Constitution does require states to actively make sure prisoners can meaningfully access the courts. And they base this on two big things. The 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause, which is all about fairness and legal stuff, and the First Amendment's right to petition the government. That means you have the right to ask the government to fix something you think is wrong. They were basically saying, look, If prisoners can't even understand their legal rights or explain their case because they don't have the resources, those constitutional rights are basically meaningless.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting. What did the court actually say the states had to do to meet this obligation? What were the specifics?
So this is important. The court said states have to provide either adequate law libraries in their prisons or give prisoners access to people who are trained in the law. It's like either, but you got to do one of them. This gave states some flexibility, but the bottom line was they had to ensure meaningful access. And Justice Marshall was really clear about this. He said, and I'm quoting here, "It is now established beyond doubt that prisoners have a constitutional right of access to the courts. This wasn't just some legal theory. It meant real changes in how prisons had to operate. This seemingly simple choice libraries or lawyers had huge implications. It meant states had to seriously think about how to let prisoners challenge unfair imprisonment or inhumane conditions," which, you know, really challenged the traditional view of prisons as being totally cut off from the legal system.
It sounds like the court was saying this is serious and you can't just ignore it. But those specifics, they went beyond just libraries or legal help, didn't they? There were other practical things they addressed.
You're right. The court also talked about the basic things prisoners need to do, legal work, especially those who couldn't afford to buy their own stuff. They said states have to give these inmates paper and pens so they can write legal documents, access to notaries to make those documents official, and even enough postage stamps to mail everything to the courts. This really shows you that the Supreme Court was thinking about what access really means for someone locked up without a lot of money. They wanted to remove as many practical obstacles as possible so prisoners could actually be heard in court.
It makes you realize that things we take for granted, like having a pen and paper, could be huge roadblocks for someone in prison. But I know there are different opinions on the court, right? What did the concurring and dissenting justices think about all of this?
Oh yeah, there were definitely different viewpoints. Justice Powell, he agreed with the majority's decision, but he had a slightly narrower interpretation of what it all meant. He thought this right of access was mainly about helping prisoners use legal tools that already existed, not about creating brand new rights, like the examples we talked about before, using habeas corpus petitions to challenge their imprisonment or filing civil rights claims for bad treatment. Powell was basically saying Bounds wasn't about expanding prisoners' rights. It was about making sure they could actually use the rights they already had. That's an important nuance to keep in mind.
So it was more about making the existing system work for prisoners, not necessarily changing the system itself. What about the dissent? It sounds like they had a much different perspective on this whole thing.
Yeah, the dissenting justices, that was Justice Rehnquist and Chief Justice Berger and Justice Stewart joined him. They really disagreed with the majority. They were like, the Constitution doesn't say states have to do all this for prisoners. They thought access to courts was a much simpler idea. It meant the state couldn't physically stop prisoners from filing papers, but that was it. They didn't have to actually help them do it.
So a much more hands-off approach from the state, according to them. What were their main concerns about the majority's decision?
One of their big worries was about federalism. That's the idea that states have their own powers and the federal government shouldn't overstep its bounds. They thought this ruling was the feds butting into how states run their prisons. Justice Rehnquist especially, he didn't think the Constitution gave the federal government the power to basically make states pay for prisoners to have all these legal resources. This gets at a really classic tension in American law. How do we balance individual rights with the power of the states? It seems like this concern about federal overreach comes up a lot when we talk about federal rights.
It's a debate that never really goes away in our legal system. Okay, so Bounds v. Smith obviously had a big impact when it came out. It established this right of access. Can you talk about the immediate effects and also the long-term effects on prisons and prisoners' rights?
Definitely. Bounds v. Smith was a landmark case for prisoners' rights in the U.S. It made this right of access to the courts a real thing, and it changed how prisons all over the country dealt with legal resources. A lot of states, because of this ruling, they created or expanded law libraries in their prisons, or they started offering legal help to inmates, like hiring paralegals or letting law students work with them.
But like we often see with big Supreme Court decisions, things don't always stay the same, right? You mentioned another case that came later that kind of clarified or maybe even narrowed what Bounds had said.
Right, you're thinking of Lewis v. Casey. That was in 1996. And it did make the impact of Bounds a bit smaller. The court in Casey basically said, okay, this right of access, it really only applies to cases where prisoners are challenging their actual sentences or the conditions they're living in. So states only had to provide legal resources for those really core issues, the ones that directly affect why someone's in prison and what it's like for them to be there. So while Bounds opened the door, Casey kind of put some limits on how wide that door could swing open. Would it be fair to say that Casey tried to make things a bit more realistic, you know, more focused on the most important stuff?
So Lewis v. Casey basically pulled back a little from the really broad implications that some people might have seen in Bounds.
Exactly. After Casey, prisoners had to show they were actually harmed in their ability to fight a specific legal case, and it had to be a case about their sentence or their living conditions. Only then could they say they were denied their right of access to the courts. This shows how precedents, even big ones, can change over time. Supreme Court keeps working through these issues, figuring out how their past decisions actually play out in the real world.
It goes back to that balance you talked about earlier, constitutional rights versus the practical realities of running these massive prison systems, budget, security, all that stuff.
Absolutely. And that balance, it's always shifting, right? As our ideas about justice change and as we rethink what it means for people to be incarcerated, the role of the state in all of this, it keeps evolving.
Right.
So for everyone listening, especially those of you deep in the world of law, what does all this mean for you? I think Bounds v. Smith is a great example of how the Constitution, these big ideas about rights, they get tested in really specific situations. And in this case, it's about people who are, you know, in a pretty vulnerable position, incarcerated individuals. It shows how important the courts are in making sure those rights are real, that they actually mean something, even in the tough environment of a prison.
And those different opinions we saw in the court, that's really important, too. The majority saying states have to step up and help prisoners access the courts, and the dissent saying, hold on, the Fed shouldn't be telling states what to do. It shows you the debates that are always happening in constitutional law. How do we interpret these big, often vague ideas in the Constitution? Smart legal minds can disagree, and that's okay.
Bounds v. Smith, I think it also reminds us that access to justice isn't just about having buildings called courthouses. It means people actually having the resources and the knowledge they need to use the legal system to understand their rights and to present their cases effectively. It makes you think about this idea of meaningful access in other areas of law and society, too. Where else are people struggling to navigate the legal system?
This deep dive into Bounds v. Smith, it gives you a really solid foundation for understanding prisoners' rights. But like we've been saying, it's not a simple issue. Things are always changing, especially with technology like digital legal resources and the big conversations happening about prison reform. So here's something for you to think about. How do we balance the rights of people in prison with the realities of running prisons safely, securely, and fairly? It's a tough question, no easy answers, but it's a crucial one if we want a truly just society for everyone.